The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, February 21st, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, as well as being President's Day. A lot of you may have the day off, and if so, welcome to our show. Glad to have you here. Plenty of stuff to talk about on today's show, including at the end, I'm going to take a look at President's Day. We are going to look at all the U.S. presidents who have ever admitted to using cannabis or growing hemp and give you a history from George Washington to Barack Obama about how they stood on marijuana. Before that, we'll talk to Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show. We're going to go round two on our bilingual interview and give that a shot. But before we get to all that, let's introduce the rest of the cast. Here in the studio is our own Ganja John.
What's up, Russ? How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was very busy, but not nearly as busy and fun as yours. Tell everybody about your new BFFs.
I hung out with Brian Posehn for the last 3 days, and a few other comedians, and some managers at Helium, and I had a good old time. We'll talk about that in hour two.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of stuff in hour two on John's comedy adventure. Looks like we will be getting all sorts of good guests for future shows here, so good work by Ganja John. And, of course, up in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is our own Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys.
And your weekend?
Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day to you. And your weekend, Carrie?
Oh, it's been great. The weather's been nice out here. And, just been busy putting off yard work.
Oh, that's a good thing to put off for sure. Cannabis Carrie is also our editor for Roots Monday for our Daily Toker Tune today at 20 after. You'll get some great Roots Monday president-y music for the day. But before we get to that, we've got the hemp headlines. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to go to Illinois to look at their state budget this time around. A terrible case out of Oklahoma that wrapped up in December but was just getting a bunch of press this weekend in the Oklahoma press. And also a Washington newspaper that's come out in support of legalization. We're going to tell you all about that as well.
All right. Great news coming up here in the hemp headlines. Stick around, everybody. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You can follow us on Twitter. It's normal_show_live. You can follow Radical Russ, Ganja John, and Cannabis Carrie as well. Also, check out our blog at stash.normal.org for all of these stories, videos, music downloads, and more. We're right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, medical cannabis cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The state of Illinois is facing a similar budget crisis to many of the struggling states. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn has proposed budget cuts that will affect tens of thousands of residents when he cuts all funding for drug treatment and prevention programs. Beginning March 15th, only federal Medicaid dollars will fund drug treatment centers in Illinois. The CEO of the Illinois Alcoholism and Drug Dependence Association, Sarah Howe, told the News Gazette that the cuts would affect 80% of their clients. She says that amounts to about 55,000 people who will lose all their funding for drug treatment in less than a month. That includes up to 30,000 youth who will lose access to prevention programs. With the budget crisis dragging on for years, treatment programs had already taken hits. In 2008, the funding was cut by $900,000, forcing the closure of its detoxification program and cutting 22 employees. It has since been reopened, but now only staffs 6 nurses. Some legislators are planning on fighting the proposed cut. State Representative Greg Harris is one who says that he is angry about the governor's new budget. He said calling for the elimination of programs is just plain wrong. Along with eliminating funding for drug treatment and substance abuse programs, he's also cutting back, but not eliminating, disability services, child care subsidies, and some benefits to seniors.
Wow, what a shame this is. Just after President Obama answers the LEAP question and says, well, we need to put more money toward reducing demand. We need to get people into drug rehab treatments. It's really a shame when someone needs a bed and they are told to come back in 6 months. Well, apparently in the state of Illinois, they'll be told to just not come back if the governor gets his way. Cutting all drug treatment and prevention programs. This is one of the things that the federal government refuses to acknowledge. They can make all the lip service they want about more treatment, more prevention, these kind of things. But without the federal dollars coming to the states to do that, it just can't happen. These states are under severe, severe budget crises right now, to the point where people are packing the state capitol in Madison over how they want, in Madison, Wisconsin, over how they want to try to balance the budget there by cutting union benefits. The states are hurting here, and they are going to look to cut things that are going to get the least amount of controversy. And instead of cutting unions or teachers' pay or firefighters' pay or anything like that, the Illinois governor says, well, let's just cut drug treatment. Nobody's going to raise a stink about that. We're just talking about a bunch of addicts here, aren't we? It's time for somebody to stop passing the buck and do something about getting more dollars to drug prevention and treatment, whether it's federal dollars, state dollars, or private philanthropists stepping up. Something's got to happen here for the people who truly do need treatment for serious drug abuse problems.
A 25-year-old mother of 4 in Oklahoma has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. Her crime was to sell $31 of cannabis. Patricia Marilyn Spotted Crow and her mother, Delita Starr, who is 50 years old, sold an $11 dime bag to a police informant in December of 2009. The informant returned 2 weeks later and purchased $20 more worth of marijuana. Spotted Crow told the Oklahoman that she did it to get some extra money. Both women were charged with drug distribution, and possession of a dangerous substance in the presence of a minor because Spotted Crow's children were home during the transaction. They were offered plea deals of 2 years in prison, but decided to enter guilty pleas instead, a gamble they took since neither of them had prior convictions and because the amount of marijuana sold was so small between them. Delita Starr received a suspended sentence of 30 years with no incarceration, plus 5 years of drug and alcohol assessment, and a fine of $8,600. But Spotted Crow was charged with 10 years in prison for distribution and an additional 2 years for possession. But both sentences will run concurrently. But when she was picked up to be taken to prison, she also had a small amount of marijuana in a jacket pocket that she had forgotten about, and that led to the judge to tack on an additional 2 year sentence and a fine of $1,300 onto her $2,700 fine. Spotted Crow, the 25-year-old mother, began her decade in prison sentence just 3 days before Christmas. She told the Oklahoman that never in a million years did she think that she would be stuck in prison for 10 years, and she said that she was under the impression that she would get probation. She said that when she left for court that morning, she knew she would be coming home, so the sentence hit her like a ton of bricks. There were no goodbyes, even for her children, as they took her away right on the spot. Kingfisher County Judge Susie Pruchette said the two women were conducting, quote, an extensive operation and included her children in the business. Judge Pruchette, who retired in December, says that considering the circumstances, she thought she was lenient by not putting the grandmother in prison so she would be able to help take care of the four children. She says that, quote, it was a way of life for them. As for her harsh sentence of Spotted Crow, who was unemployed at the time of her arrest, she says, quote, it does not appear the defendant is aware that a problem exists or that she needs to make changes in her current behavior. When she needed money, this is the avenue she chose rather than finding legitimate employment. The report states, the defendant does not appear remorseful and she makes justifications for her action. Pruchette said on first-time drug offenses that sentences are usually suspended and may require treatment or random drug test. Only if there are more serious circumstances is a first-time drug offender sent to prison. She said, quote, when kids are involved, it's different. This was a drug sale. When I look at someone in front of me, I'm thinking, what is it going to take to rehabilitate this person? We look at their attitude and other factors, unquote. Spotted Crow's four children are ages 9, 4, 3, and 1, and she says it's really been hard on her husband. Oklahoma has two prisons for women, but out of the 2,622 women incarcerated in prison in that state, 48% of them are serving time for nonviolent drug offenses. The Department of Correction identifies 78% of the women's population incarcerated to be of minimal public safety threats.
Wow. A decade for a dime bag and a 20 bag, huh? 25-year-old woman going to prison for 10 years. A 9-year-old who won't have mom there when she graduates high school. A 4, a 3, and a 1-year-old who won't have mom there when they go to their first day of school. A 1-year-old who's probably not even walking yet. Mom won't see her 1-year-old learn how to walk. Does anyone feel that there's justice being served here? That somehow we're all safer? That somehow the drug trade is going to end? That somehow people will stop smoking marijuana? Somehow young mothers will look at this case and go, oh, wait, no, I won't smoke this joint. I wouldn't want to go to jail for 10 years. I won't sell this weed. I wouldn't want to go to jail and lose my kids. Is that really the theory, that how this is going to be fixed here, Judge? Is that really? And so compassionate to let the grandmother out so she can raise her daughter's kids. Because, you know, if you're a grandmother, I'm sure that wanting to raise four young children is a kind of burden you want to take on, especially if you were turning to selling tiny amounts of marijuana to try to make ends meet. I'm sure you got plenty of cash, plenty of reserve, plenty of net worth just sitting back ready to raise four kids while you're a grandma in probably your 50s here, maybe your 60s. This is just one case, Patricia Spotted Crow in Oklahoma, one case here where the war on drugs is destroying families. Just simply put, destroying families. Should she have gotten another job to make money? Perhaps. But are those jobs available for 25-year-old women with four young children at home who have to pay money to get the child care just to be able to go to the jobs? Is that really available in Oklahoma these days? And the other thing I want to bring up here, too, is entering the guilty plea. They entered the guilty plea thinking things would go easy on them. We hear this all the time, you know, when people have encounters with law enforcement. Just admit it and we'll go easy on you. Folks, it never works out that way. No, it doesn't work out. The only thing you're going easy on here is the prosecutor for not having to make a case because you made the case for them by pleading guilty. If every marijuana consumer and every marijuana seller out there would stop accepting plea deals, would exercise their right to a jury trial and demand jury trials for these kind of cases, marijuana prohibition would be over in a matter of months. The justice system just cannot handle it. They could not handle raising all the juries and flooding their dockets here with actual trials on these marijuana cases. And as we've seen in Montana, where they tried to impanel a jury on a marijuana case and were unable to do so, we are reaching a point now where enough people believe marijuana should be legalized. 58% of the American people, according to the Economist survey, say it should be legalized. It's going to be tougher and tougher for them to impanel juries. Reject these plea deals. Plead innocent. Ask for a jury trial. Go to trial. And maybe, just maybe, we can prevent another case of a mother going to miss all of her daughter's major events in life for a stupid marijuana sales charge.
And in an editorial this weekend, the Seattle Times has called for the Washington State Legislature to legalize marijuana. They call for the states to lead a push against federal prohibition, beginning with the state of Washington. The Seattle Times is the largest daily newspaper in the state of Washington. The newspaper endorses State House Bill 1550 to legalize marijuana for possession and put legal cannabis in state liquor stores, where citizens over 21 can purchase it and consume it in private. The editorial board for the Times points out that the failure of prohibition and the waste of resources of the police, the courts, and of course the jails. They call for legalization with regulation and taxes. Times editorial page editor and associate publisher Ryan Blevin says the newspaper understands that, quote, a good number of citizens may disagree with our call on this. Pete Holmes, who is serving his first term as a Seattle city attorney, threw in his opinion on the idea, saying that prohibition is more than just a failure, but a misuse of taxpayer money and the government's authority. Holmes says that marijuana is far more like alcohol than it is like hard drugs, and we should treat it as such. Since we address alcohol abuse primarily as a public health issue, we should do the same with marijuana abuse. Inebriation only becomes a crime for those who choose to get behind the wheel, whether the intoxicant is alcohol, prescription painkillers, or cannabis. In his piece he wrote for the Times, which was also published this weekend, he said that ending marijuana prohibition wasn't a panacea, but a necessary step in the right direction. Holmes quoted Albert Einstein, who said of prohibition in 1921, nothing is more destructive of respect for the government and of the law of the land than passing laws which cannot be enforced. He said that marijuana prohibition cannot and has not been consistently enforced, and keeping it on the books diminishes the people's respect for law enforcement. He believes that House Bill 1550 to legalize marijuana will lead to a successful citizens' initiative if the legislature doesn't step up and do the right thing first. He says that federal law can no longer be an excuse for inaction. As with alcohol prohibition, collective action by the states will help us end the federal marijuana prohibition and transition to a rational and functional system for regulating and taxing marijuana.
Well, kudos to the Seattle Times for, you know, coming to its senses and realizing what is obvious. Legalization of marijuana is the only and best solution to ending any problems with marijuana and to solving this drug war in general. And they're absolutely right about the ending of prohibition with respect to the states versus the federal government. When alcohol prohibition was enacted, it was enacted by the states one by one instituting alcohol penalties, and then the federal government got involved. It was repealed the same way when New York State led the way by saying it wouldn't enforce the federal prohibition, and other states followed suit, which led to the eventual repeal of the 18th Amendment in 1933 through the 21st Amendment. The same sort of pattern is playing itself out with cannabis prohibition. Cannabis was first prohibited in America state by state. California and other states in the Southwest first began the prohibition, and it wasn't until all the states, 48 states at the time, had made cannabis illegal before the federal government made it illegal as well. Dismantling it is going to have to happen the same way, and I believe in 2011 and 2012 we'll see Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, Vermont, Maine, a number of states that are bringing this debate to the fore. And if at least one of them passes legalization, that is the domino that will begin the cascade that will end marijuana prohibition throughout this great country. The feds will follow when the states lead, and kudos to Washington State for making this happen at the legislative level rather than at the initiative level. We appreciate all the lawmakers out there who are introducing legalization bills. Give them a call and let them know you support legalization.
I think it's time for a break with this new pocket bubbler.
It's a time for a break with a pocket bubbler, and what's this we have here? Some
blue diesel.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, happy 420, everybody out there in the Eastern time zone. We go back to beautiful Grass Storia and Cannabis Carrie, who brings us our Daily Toker Tune for this President's Day Roots Monday. What you got, Carrie?
Well, you said you were going to talk about the president all along the line, so this is the perfect background for that. Now, we all learned the ABCs by singing them in a song. So in honor of today being President's Day, I present to you the music of Evan LaFlock and his band called Small Fish Adventures. Now, most of Evan's music is quirky and folky fun tunes, and his live show has been described as old-timey radio on espresso. Today's song educates us not just about the names of the presidents from Washington to Bush the Lesser, but it teaches us the chronological order of them, giving us an edge to at least one category in Jeopardy. So enjoy today's President's Day song called Presidents from Small Fish Adventures.
George Washington, John Adams made sense. Thomas Jefferson, Deck of Independence. Then to James Madison and Monroe, John Quincy, woohoo, way to go. Andrew Jackson, Martin Peer and Van, William Henry Harrison, yes he can. John Tyler and Polk, Mr. James, Zachary Taylor, that's his name. Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, he was fierce. Abe Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant. Rutherford Hayes drank, his wife said you can't. James Garfield, Chester Arthur, Grover Cleveland, oh yes sir. Benjamin Harrison, Cleveland again. William McKinley, roosters not hens. Teddy Roosevelt and William H. Taft. Pew Woodrow Wilson needed a bath. Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge. Herbert Hoover sucked it up and put it in the fridge. FDR and Harry S. T. Dwight Eisenhower elected by 50. JFK, Lyndon Johnson, Nixon, then Ford. Next to Jimmy Carter. Oh, good lord. Ronald Reagan, he liked jelly beans. George H. Dub had broccoli as a theme. William J. Clinton blew his saxophone. George Dub, 9/11 security at home. These are the presidents chronologically. Sing them every day so they're in your memory. Sing them to your teachers. They will think it's neat. And on a chest you...
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Tucker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Tucker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
That's the Dirt Ball from Suburban Noise Records, Cottonmouth Kings. This is Normal Show Live. Keep it right here, yeah.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Percent of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
NORML, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition. We're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour, and we welcome back to the show Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Russ? Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and again, for folks that haven't followed the show, we tried to have an interview a few days ago, but we're beset by technical difficulties, so I do thank you so much again for coming back here and trying to make a second go at it.
No problem.
Okay, so we wanted to make this partially also as an outreach to the Latino community. So since you're with the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show, we're going to do this interview bilingually in Ingles y Español. Sound good?
Perfecto.
All right. Por favor, perdone mi Español terrible.
No problema. We'll try to understand.
Okay. Tell us about the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show. Cuéntanos sobre el Cannabis Médica Bilingual Show.
Basically, it's a show talking about medical cannabis, its uses for and medical benefits for patients all over Mexico, United States, everywhere. We're trying to focus on getting, you know, educating the people out there on what they can do as patients to help, you know, keep the legalization of marijuana.
Ay, y español, por favor.
Y en español somos un programa dedicado a la educación de marihuana y su uso medicinal para todos los pacientes latinos en la comunidad. Estamos tratando de educarlos a ellos para que ellos puedan salir a la comunidad y poder apoyar las reformas y poder a que la marihuana pueda ser legal y puedan usarla abiertamente.
Hmm. How did you learn about medical marijuana? ¿Cómo se enteró acerca de la marihuana médica?
Well, I'm a patient myself, and, you know, basically, I suffered from back pain. I suffered from a lot. I had a car accident, a motorcycle accident that left me kind of messed up from my back. Entonces, yo empecé a usar marihuana como para poder aliviar mi dolor de espalda, mi dolor de rodillas y todo eso. Y a través de mi experiencia con ella, you know, I started realizing how difficult it was for patients, you know, everywhere. So we had an opportunity to make a show, and we decided to take it.
Okay. Latinos use marijuana less than all other groups but Asians, so why should Latinos support ending marijuana prohibition? Latinos uso de la marihuana menos de todos los demás grupos, pero los asiáticos. ¿Por qué los latinos apoyan terminar la prohibición de la marihuana?
Porque los latinos, siendo una minoría, podemos hacer una diferencia. You know, we might be a minority, we might smoke, you know, or use less, but we still can make a difference being that minority.
Mm-hmm. Now, what prevents Latinos from accepting marijuana? Is it religion, culture, or something else?
¿Qué impide que los... I think a lot of it has to do...
Oh, que los...
yo pienso que mucho tiene que...
¿Los latinos aceptan la marihuana? ¿Es la religión, la cultura, o algo más?
No, yo pienso que mucho tiene que ver con la violencia que pasa en México. I think a lot has to do with the violence that's going on in Mexico and all the bad advertising that marijuana gets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, you know, la gente, in Mexico hay lugares donde la gente vive de la cultivación de marihuana. You know, people live off cultivating marijuana, but it's illegal. It's illegal to cultivate it, it's illegal to move it, to sell it, everything. So, ese es el problema que tienen los latinos, de que en los carteles están matando, people are dying over a plant.
Yeah, that's a shame. And the drug war violence in Mexico is out of control. Juarez, just the city of Juarez, had more killings than all of the state of California last year. So how can Latinos in America help stop that violence? La violencia de la guerra de drogas en México está fuera de control. Ciudad Juarez había más muertos que todos de las California en el año pasado. ¿Cómo pueden los Latinos en Estados Unidos ayudar a detener la violencia?
Yo pienso, and this is my personal opinion, I think that with the legalization of marijuana, a lot of the funds that these cartels have will be canceled. They will not have those funds anymore because they will not be there will not be that demand from them, you know. O sea, ya no va a haber, si los latinos ayudan a que la marihuana sea legal, se va a acabar todos los lucros que tienen los carteles para poder seguir haciendo sus cosas y pudiendo matar gente y teniendo el dinero para poder controlar las áreas que ellos controlan. I think a lot of it would be over if marijuana would become legal. I think a lot of the problems in Mexico would end.
Excellent. Now, there are frightfully few Latinos involved in drug reform groups like Normal and ASA and LEAP and DP, all these groups. It's so hard for us to reach out to Latinos. So what can we do to reach out to Latinos? Hay pocos Latinos que participan en grupos de reforma de drogas como la Normal. ¿Qué podemos hacer para alcanzar a los Latinos?
Yo pienso que lo que estamos haciendo nosotros, yo y mis partners, lo que estamos haciendo nosotros para poder hacer, para que nuestra voz llegue a la comunidad latina, yo creo que eso es lo más importante. I think there's a lot of people that should volunteer, you know, their free time to go out and, you know, speak at these meetings and, you know, give their opinion, write letters to city council or whoever they have to write letters to. Just so that they can see that voice is being heard, you know, that there is a Latin community that's supporting this.
Excellent. All right. Now, going back to medical marijuana for a second, what do you think Latinos don't know, or what would you like Latinos to know about medical marijuana? ¿Qué le gustaría saber a los latinos acerca de la marihuana médica?
Yo pienso que mucho de lo que tiene que ver, mucha gente piensa que la marihuana es una droga que no tiene beneficios médicos. Y yo pienso que eso es lo que se le tiene que hacer entender a mucha gente, no nomás latinos, pero mucha gente de otras razas, de que la marihuana no es una droga dañina. O sea, es una planta natural que con beneficios muy, muy buenos para personas enfermas. And I think that's what they need. That's what a lot of Latin people need to understand. I mean, if I could go back to when I was a kid and see my grandmother use marijuana and alcohol for her rheumatoid arthritis, you know, and she used to rub it on hers for to heal the pain that it would cause her, you know. And I mean, if we go back, you know, to those times when people used to use it in their alcohol, or you know, maybe we didn't see it, but they might have smoked it too, like you're saying about the presidents.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of presidents that used it for, I think it was George Washington, they said he used it for his toothaches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of benefits for it. There's a lot of things that marijuana can be helpful for that Latinos or other people in the community don't know about. And I think that's the most important message that we need to get out, is letting them understand what the medical benefits are of marijuana.
Estamos hablando con Justin Rivera de la Cannabis Medic Bilingual Show. We're speaking with Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show, and in inglés y español. Can you tell folks how they can get in touch with your show, how they can find your show on the internet or on radio?
Sure. You go to rspradio.com, and it's on, our show is Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. We're on rspradio.com, and you just log into the link and it'll let you in right there. Or you can find us on Facebook. It's Med420 Show on Facebook. That's our page.
Excellent. ¿Y español?
Y en español, estamos en Facebook en Med420 Show, y también en los domingos de 4 a 6 de la tarde por rspradio.com. Estamos en las tardes, ahí nos pueden encontrar para todos los que quieran ver nuestro programa y apoyarnos. We have a live chat, it's live streaming. Entonces ahí pueden dejar sus mensajes y ahí podemos hablar y cotorrear ahí. Ahí podemos contestar todas las preguntas que tengan.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis Show. Muchas gracias por acompañarnos. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
I want to thank you for the opportunity also, and you know, thank you for letting me be on your show.
All right. Thank you so much. Adios.
Adios.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Want more than just your Normal Show Live? Get your daily fix of marijuana news and interviews on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the weekday podcast available on iTunes and at stash.normal.org.
I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's President's Day 2011, and I'm going to take the time in the rant here to give you a look at the history of U.S. presidents, hemp, marijuana, and prohibition. And some of you may know some of these things about the presidents, but it's always good to get a look from Washington to Obama on this particular history. And you're going to get a couple surprises, too, some stuff you think you know that isn't actually true. Let's go to it right away here. We start, of course, with our first president, the father of our country, George Washington. And many folks know some of these things about George Washington. Of course, the colonies back then were all deep into hemp farming. Hemp was used to pay taxes. It was a major crop for the American colonies. So it's no surprise that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and many other of the founding fathers grew hemp. We have these quotes from Jefferson, quote, "Make the most of the Indian hemp seed and sow it everywhere," end quote. And, quote, "The artificial preparation of hemp from Silesia is really a curiosity," end quote. And, quote, from his diaries, "began to separate the male from the female hemp plants," end quote. All of these point to George Washington not just being a hemp farmer, but also being a hemp consumer, as in cannabis, as in marijuana. The artificial preparation of hemp from Cilicia that is referred to in that quote refers to hashish, refers to the preparation of hashish. And that is a curiosity indicates that he at least knew of it and knew that it was used for drug consumption purposes. Separating the male plants from the female plants could have two possibilities. One is to make a stronger fiber of hemp plant, or two, to get the females separated so that you can get their flowering tops for smoking. Now, it's most likely that he was doing the former, trying to get strong hemp plants, but it's not out of the question that he may have done both. As we move on to our second president, John Adams was not known to have consumed cannabis in any sort of recreational way, but of course was also well known of the hemp that was of benefit to this country. His quote is, "We shall by and by want a world of hemp more for our own consumption," end quote. As we move on, Thomas Jefferson, the third president, of course was a well-known hemp farmer, and his quote was, "Hemp is of first necessity to the wealth and protection of the country," of course referring to the industrial hemp crop. But then there's this quote that will be a little bit controversial. Some folks may have seen it at the beginning of the movie Totally Baked, or found it by searching through the internet. And the quote is, "Some of my finest hours have been spent sitting on my back veranda smoking hemp, and observing as far as my eye can see, end quote. Based on all the research I can find, this quote is actually false, or at least can't be cited. They cannot find any citation for it. I've consulted Monticello.org, which is Jefferson's legacy, the Jefferson archive, and consulted the sources on hemp and smoking, and we looked through the papers of the Thomas Jefferson Digital Edition, Thomas Jefferson's retirement papers, the Ford edition, the Lipscomb-Berg edition via Google Books, and we could not find this statement anywhere in the writings of Thomas Jefferson. Now, if someone does have a citation for this and can provide proof of where this quote was found, I'll be glad to change my mind on that. But as far as I can tell at this moment, that is false. Now, as we move on to more early American presidents, James Madison claimed that hemp gave him insight on starting a new democratic nation. Still looking for citation information on this one, but that's known of James Madison's time. James Monroe became the ambassador to France, as well as being one of our presidents. And while he was ambassador to France, he openly smoked hashish. It was well known that Monroe smoked hashish. As we move on, Andrew Jackson, Zachary Taylor, and Franklin Pierce were all presidents who served during wartime. They were in the army at the time, or leaders in the army, and all of them were known to have smoked cannabis with their troops. According to the archives that I found, cannabis smoking was twice as popular among American soldiers in the Mexican War at the end of the 1800s, or in the middle 1800s there, than it was in Vietnam. Franklin Pierce, the president, actually wrote in a letter back to his family, quote, "It was the only good thing about that war." That is the Mexican War. The only good thing about the Mexican War was the smoking of the cannabis, according to President Franklin Pierce. Now, we move on to Abraham Lincoln, and this is another president for whom there is a lot attributed with regard to prohibition. One of the quotes we get is, "Two of my favorite things are sitting on my front porch, smoking a pipe of sweet hemp, and playing my Hohner harmonica," end quote. Attributed to Lincoln, having written that in 1855, this quote is demonstrably false. Hohner did not even make harmonicas until 1857, and they didn't export them into America until 1868, 4 years after Lincoln's assassination. Now, Lincoln was known to have played harmonica during the Lincoln-Douglas debates. There's a famous quote that goes back to him speaking of how Douglas would have a big brass band backing him up, and he would do just fine just with his harmonica. And there's a lot in Lincoln about prohibition and whether or not he was a part of the temperance movement. I found many references to early acts by Lincoln before he became president, when he was still in the state legislature in Illinois, passing or proposing bills that would have prohibited alcohol at the time. He was very much into prohibition at the time. And that brings me to the next quote that is often brought up with regard to President Lincoln that may shock some of you out there. The quote that comes out and says, "Prohibition goes beyond the bound of reason in that it attempts to control a man's appetite by legislation and makes a crime out of things that are not crimes. A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principles upon which our government was founded," end quote. Now, while this was referring to alcohol prohibition, it has many times been brought up by marijuana reformers in regards to prohibition in general. This quote is also false, and I've got the demonstrable proof for you here. This is a clipping from the American Issue, 1922, July 22nd, 1922. "Authorship of anti-prohibition screed credited to Lincoln is admitted by Georgia wet leader." Now, back in the prohibition days, there were dries and they were wets. The wets were the people that supported keeping alcohol legal. "A statement attributed to great emancipator, widely circulated by liquor advocates in wet and dry campaigns, challenged repeatedly for proof which could not be produced. Former mayor of Atlanta, campaign leader for wets, wrote screed to win the Negro vote in local fight. It saved the day for booze in that battle, and wets have given it worldwide circulation. Efforts to prove Lincoln author failed. Dries have positive evidence of origin of fake." And the article continues. It quotes the Lincoln quote here that makes a crime out of things that are not crimes. blow at the very principles which government is founded, and so forth. The remainder of the article, in no uncertain terms, completely debunks the Lincoln quote on prohibition. It was anti-prohibition screed credited to Lincoln is admitted by Georgia Wet Leader. So propaganda existing even back then by anti-prohibition reformers, we should not make the same mistake. We cannot be quoting this Lincoln quote when it is so demonstrably false and the proof is out there. So I encourage all of our reformers listening at Normal Show Live to not let that quote stand. Wherever you see it in the forums, or if you see it in the comments section, or someone mentions it to you, make sure you debunk it. It is absolutely untrue. Not that our position is untrue, but we got to remember we have to set the bar higher with respect to credibility. So we cannot be going with quotes that are so easily disproven. Now, as we move on from Lincoln, the issue of marijuana crops back up back in the early 1960s as it became more and more popular amongst the public, which leads us to President John F. Kennedy, elected in 1960. According to a biography of John F. Kennedy written by Michael O'Brien, he describes an affair that JFK had with Mary Pinchot Meyer, the former wife of a CIA agent, Cord Meyer, and sister of Washington Post editor Ben Bradley's wife, Toni. It says, quote, on the evening of July 16, 1962, according to Jim Truitt, Kennedy and Mary Meyer smoked marijuana together. The White House was hosting a conference on narcotics in 2 months, and Kennedy joked about it to Mary. Truitt claimed he himself provided Mary with the pot. The president smoked three of the six joints Mary brought to him. At first, he felt no effects. Then he closed his eyes and refused a fourth joint. Suppose the Russians did something now, he said. And there's many other citations of John F. Kennedy using marijuana medically to help treat his back pain. Now, as we move on, we get to Richard Nixon, and we've actually got a quote clip here from Richard Nixon.
I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
And you could argue that Nixon did earn everything he got. And some of his quotes, of course, Nixon is the one who declared the war on drugs. And some of his quotes show you the racism inherent in the marijuana prohibition that still exists today. And these quotes come from the Nixon tapes and from the Haldeman diaries. Quote, you have to face the fact that the whole problem is really the blacks. The key is to devise a system that recognizes this all while not appearing to. And his other quote, I want a goddamn strong statement on marijuana. I mean one that just tears the ass out of them. You know, it's a funny thing. Every one of the bastards that are out for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. And in his quote to the United States Congress, this is where he actually makes the declaration of the drug war. Quote, America's public enemy number one is drug abuse. In order to fight and defeat this enemy, it is necessary to wage a new, all-out offensive, end quote. Well, when Nixon's Schaefer Commission came back and recommended decriminalization, he threw it in the trash and continued the drug war we are fighting today. There was some hope in ending the drug war with the election of Jimmy Carter. This next clip from Jimmy Carter is him not as president, but in 1975, campaigning in Georgia for the presidency.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That's a man running for president endorsing decriminalization. And, of course, he did get before Congress in 1977 and say, quote, penalties against possession of a drug should not be more damaging to an individual than the use of the drug itself. And where they are, they should be changed. Nowhere is this more clear than in the laws against possession of marijuana in private for personal use. Therefore, I support legislation amending federal law to eliminate all federal criminal penalties for the possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Now, also during the Carter administration, the Federal Compassionate Investigative New Drug Program was started, federal medical marijuana, for which there are still four remaining living patients. Now, we move on to Ronald Reagan, where the drug war takes a turn for the worse. Of course, we all remember Nancy Reagan and the Just Say No campaign.
I know it seems like such a simple message, just say no, but it's an important one.
We also have the quote from Ronald Reagan who said, quote, I now have absolute proof that smoking even one marijuana cigarette is equal in brain damage to being on Bikini Island during an H-bomb blast, end quote. This is also where we see the rise of the anti-drug groups like DARE and the Partnership for the Drug-Free America. Now, moving on to George Bush the Smarter. George Bush the Smarter, in his inaugural address, said, quote, "There are a few clear areas in which society must rise up united and express our intolerance. The most obvious now is drugs. And there is much to be done and to be said, but take my word for it, this scourge will stop." End quote. Not only that, but George H.W. Bush created the Drug Czar's Office, the ONDCP, and closed that compassionate federal investigative new drug program when all the AIDS patients started applying to get medical marijuana. Although Bush called for a complete stoppage of drug use, the rest of his administration set some more reasonable goals. They were working toward a 10% decrease in casual drug use over the next 2 years and a 50% reduction over the next 10 years. Of course, that did not happen. There are more people using drugs at the end of his term than the beginning. Now, as we move on to the modern era of presidents, starting with Bill Clinton, a very interesting trend emerges. This is a look at the presidential election since 1992 and the presidential and vice presidential candidate for each party. And as you can see, the people highlighted in green are people who are known to have smoked marijuana. That means five of the last eight people who've run for president and five of the last eight people who've run for vice president have all smoked marijuana. Clinton and Gore and Bush Quayle. Quayle smoked marijuana. Clinton and Gore smoked marijuana. Clinton and Gore are 96 versus Dole Kemp. Kemp smoked marijuana as well. Gore Lieberman in 2000 versus Bush and Cheney. Both Gore and Bush smoked marijuana. Kerry Edwards versus Bush Cheney in 2004. Kerry Edwards and Bush all smoked marijuana. And Obama Biden versus McCain Palin in the most recent election. Obama and Palin have both admitted to smoking marijuana. Now, as we move on here, we get to Bill Clinton, where he said, of course, the most famous presidential clip in marijuana.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
Of course, Bill Clinton, in the recent book by Christopher Hitchens, was known to have used marijuana brownies while at Oxford, so it may be true that he didn't inhale. Also, during his administration, when California passed medical marijuana, his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, exhibited a plan to silence the medical marijuana doctors by taking their license if they even talked about marijuana. It took the Supreme Court to reinstate the free speech rights of doctors that were recommending medical marijuana. We also have George Bush, the not so smart.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
And a biographer of George Bush, whose name was actually Douglas Weed, I'm not making that up, Douglas Weed, wrote that Bush, when asked about the drug questions, said, quote, "I wouldn't answer the marijuana questions. You know why? Because I don't want some little kid doing what I tried," end quote. And that leaves us with President Barack Obama, the most recent president to have admitted to the use of marijuana. In 2004, he had a very telling clip.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Actually, that was his quote from 2008. He inhaled frequently. That was the point. But back in 2004, he was telling us it was time to decriminalize.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
And when we got together during the Obama's open for questions and asked him to please rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws, he said it wouldn't be a good idea.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but I just want, I don't want people to think that this was a fairly popular question. We want to make sure that it was answered. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So, all right.
So President Obama laughed at us in 2009. Most recently in 2011, Mackenzie Allen, a member of LEAP, asked the president a question again on legalization, and he had this to say.
Well, there's a difference between sending this to jail for a few ounces and legalizing.
Well, I think this is a entirely legitimate topic for debate. I am not in favor of legalization.
Yeah, sorry, that was Joe Biden in there as well. So there are your presidents, all the way from George Washington to Barack Obama, and their stance and use of marijuana and prohibition. Thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live for Cannabis Carry and Ganja John. I'm Radical Russ. We'll see you on the replays. For those of you staying tuned for Hour 2, we'll talk to you some more about John's weekend. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.